Happy New Year to you. Are you ready for the new year? Is the new year ready for you is what we ought to ask, huh? Yeah. I am happy that the Christmas decorations are still up. Sometimes when we take them down just after Christmas, it kind of looks bare after having been here for a few weeks. I will tell you, though, it is still Christmas season. January 6th is Christmas, according to the Eastern Orthodox religion. So should you be in Russia at this time, they are still waiting for Christmas to occur on January 6th. So that's why the Christmas decorations are still up, or because the crew did not get here this last week to take them down. You can go with whichever option you want. But I like the Christmas decorations up. They add beauty to our facility here. You see on the screen, I saw it down there. There it was. You see on the screen the title, The Bride of Christ. I was going to have a different title, and that it was I Have a Dream. Kind of stealing that title from Martin Luther King Jr. in his speech there in 1963. I don't remember it. I was just a baby at that time. But had to study it a few times. And it is a beautiful and powerful message that he gave. I've been here at Mesa Palms now for 2 months. So I'm still a newbie. Still getting to know what goes on here. They don't always tell me when the lights are out or when things need to be done around here. Things just happen. Sometimes I'm here and catch people doing things. Sometimes they happen when I'm not here. I realize I haven't been to all of your homes yet. I mean, I realize you have not invited me to your home yet. I have not received a lot of text messages and say, hey, I need a pastoral visit. Maybe you don't need a pastoral visit, but I need to visit you. Maybe you don't need me to visit you, but I need to visit you, because I'm realizing every Sabbath how many people's names I just still do not know. Now, Cheryl's good at it. She picks them up. She listens to conversations. She hears things. You'd be surprised how many names she already knows. And when she talks about you, I have no clue who she's talking about. She has to describe a little bit more to me so that I can catch on. And then, oh, that's their name. So, yeah. So I'm telling you, it needs to happen. I'm still learning things. But I've been here 2 months. This facility that we have is beautiful. I mean, God has given the church here a beautiful facility. I look out here and see only about, what would you say, 50% full? 45% full, something like that? I should look at the numbers and compare them with the seating capacity and see how that rates. The members that are here that I'm getting to know, the ones I have visited, the ones I've been in meetings with, the ones I've visited at the midweek meetings, the one that is in board meeting. I've been to a few board meetings are fun. I like board meetings. That's when you get to know people a little bit better. Elders meetings. It's fun for me to get to know the Bride of Christ here in Mesa Palms. I've thought and I've wondered if Jesus were to write us a letter for 2026, what would it say? If we had been included, or if we were included in the Revelation letters, the back here, the Bible, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there's letters there to the seven churches. If we were included in those letters, what would he say to us, and how would he say it? You remember some of those letters, right? The church of Ephesus. What he had to say to the church of Ephesus. I mean, the church of Ephesus, it was a happening place. They were a growing church. They were an exciting church to be at. But Jesus tells them, he says, you have lost your first love. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? Those are hard words for us to hear sometimes. I mean, if you said that to your husband, you've been married, you know, a month, 3 months, a year, 5 years, and you say, you've lost your first love. What's your husband going to think when you say that? And then you go further, like Jesus says. He says, repent. I mean, those are, you could almost be offended at those things. Words like that could be painful to hear. Now, some individuals say that the letters to the seven churches, there were actually seven churches that John was writing to, or Jesus was writing to through John, sending these letters to, but that these seven churches actually also are time prophecies throughout history. The early church would be that church of Ephesus, the one that was growing, the one that was exciting, the one that was on fire for Jesus Christ when the world was turned upside down. That would be the church of Ephesus. But then it gets to the point where they lose their first love. And John, he writes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you read those books and he says, love one another, love one another, love one another. Why is he reminding them to love one another? Because of what Jesus had said. You've lost your first love. Could see it in the church. Now, I'm not going to go through the seven churches right now, but the Laodicean church, if that section, these are letters to the time prophecies going through the history of the church, and we get to the seventh church there, the Laodicean church, that would be the last day church, the church that is in the last days before Jesus returns, that would probably be our day. What does he tell the Laodicean church there in Revelation chapter 3? What was it? You don't need me. It says, you think you are rich and in need of nothing. Boy, that kind of sounds like the world we live in, doesn't it? People in the valley here think they're rich and in need of nothing. They have everything they need to make life happen. We get to the place where we don't even need the community. Look here, chapter 3 there. If you have your Bibles, you can open it. I didn't put it on the screen for you. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say that you are rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Do you know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Do you want to receive a letter like that? I don't either. I don't want to receive a letter like that either. And I don't want you to receive a letter like that, because that is painful to hear, painful to look at. And so I will say, I have a dream. I have a dream for the Mesa Palms Seventh-day Adventist Church. I have a dream where every member has a personal relationship with Jesus. Every member. Now, I know some of you didn't get the card so you could fill out the five names because you're not a voted member here. But if you're attending here, you're a member here, okay? Wouldn't it be nice if every member had a personal relationship with Jesus? I mean, do you have a New Year's resolution that you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus this year? You want to improve your relationship with Jesus? John 10, 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You talk about a New Year's resolution. I want to hear God's voice. I want the congregation to hear God's voice. I want us to know God's voice, for Him to know who we are, and for us to put into practice. Sometimes that's harder than just hearing, right? We may hear, but we don't always put into practice. I want us to hear His voice and to do what He asks us to do. To have that personal relationship with Him. That means we're going to have to be spending time with Him regularly. That means we're going to have to be going on errands for Him regularly. Now, I know this applies to me also. You know, many times the pastor is preaching to himself. You guys are just here listening. This is what I need to hear as well. I want for us as a church to have that personal relationship with Jesus. What would that look like? What could we do as a church to encourage one another to have that personal relationship with Jesus? I mean, I was thinking about that this week, and I'm thinking, you know, we already have some things that are really in place for that purpose. When the Seventh-day Adventist Church started, one of the things they wanted was everybody to grow, because the knowledge that was taking place at that time, they wanted everybody to grow spiritually, significantly. Not just incremental, but significant spiritual growth. And that was going to have to happen quickly. And so they started what we call Sabbath school. We're not original with that idea. We got it from the Methodist. They had Sunday school. We started Sabbath school. The purpose for Sabbath school is so that we can grow spiritually. It's to get us into God's word so that we are studying on a regular basis. Those Sabbath school lesson guides, the Bible reading guides, that's so you can study it every day, every day, every day. And you begin to learn, you begin to grow. And we come together and we go to the classes, and it's where a discussion can take place so that we can share what we've learned during the week and how we can apply it to our life. That was an advertisement for Sabbath school, in case you weren't catching on. You know, there were times in Adventist history that we were known as people of the book, and that was because of Sabbath school. There were times in Seventh-day Adventist history where we would have 150 people coming to Sabbath school and only 100 showing up to the worship service. We had more people in Sabbath school classes than we did that were members of the church. At one time, Sabbath school class is where Bible study was taking place. That's where we were getting individuals to come and study with us, and they weren't even members. They were learning how to grow in Jesus Christ. They were learning how to study the Bible. They were growing to be able to hear God's voice. They were growing to know what God's will was for their life. Sabbath school, a long, long, long time ago, used to be the evangelism for the church. Making sure that people studied and grew and knew their Bibles, making sure they had that relationship with Jesus. Advertisement again for Sabbath school. If you're watching on video, if you're and listening, advertisement for getting together with the church. We need Sabbath school. You need Sabbath school. I mean, if you are not here, well, let's see, I shouldn't say that. I'm not preaching next week. If you are not here worshiping in 2 weeks, here, in this room, worshiping with me in 2 weeks, if you are not here, but you attended Sabbath school, I would say hallelujah. To me, Sabbath school is more important than what happens here. If you want to bring guests, bring them to Sabbath school. Sabbath school is where we really study the word. Sometimes we'll have a Bible study here, but man, part of my dream is to grow Sabbath school. I'm going to tell you, we have this thing called midweek service or prayer meeting. What? I know you don't drive at night. I know Wednesday night is a difficult time. Friends, we need to be getting together to pray. We need to pray together as a community. That midweek service is something special. This opportunity we have as a world church, this 10 days of prayer that we're going to have starting Wednesday evening and going to conclude on the 17th. That's a special time where the world church has things that they're praying about. But we, as a local community, we have things that we need to pray about. And we need to be sharing those with each other. And it builds community. When you listen to each other pray, when you hear each other pray, it builds community. When you can sense the other people's hearts, it builds community. We don't pray enough together. Okay, how many commercials you want during this section? You know, sometimes you watch that programs and there's just commercial after commercial after commercial. Yeah. I have a dream that every member has a personal relationship with Jesus. What a wonderful place that would be. I have a dream that every member is using their spiritual gifts that God has given to them. Do you have a spiritual gift? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts to men." What's it say there? He gave gifts to men. Continues on in verses 11 through 16. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Do you have a spiritual gift? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Yeah, that's part of the problem, isn't it? We don't know our spiritual gift, so we don't use it. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, they kind of go together with Ephesians 4 and they talk about spiritual gifts. And Paul uses the analogy of a body. Now, all of you know about a body, right? You know the parts of the body. Paul says when one part of the body isn't working, what happens to the body? If your foot isn't working, what happens to you? you limp. If the church is a body and part of the body isn't working properly, now I'm going to say that differently. If the church is a body and part of the body is not using its spiritual gift appropriately, what happens to the body? It's limping down the trail. Or maybe it wasn't the foot that was hurt. Maybe we're able to run, but we're not able to think. You understand that what would the church be like if everybody was using their spiritual gift? We'd be healthy. I mean, we understand this body analogy a little bit. We understand that there are 11 systems in the human body. You know about these systems, right? You go to the doctor when one of these systems isn't working, you go to the doctor to find out what's the problem. Why am I not breathing properly? Oh, my bone's sticking out of my skin here. What should I do? We know when there's a problem, and we go and we are searching for a cure. We understand the human body. Do we understand the church body? Do we realize that there are 8 systems for church organization that have to be functioning properly in order for a church to be healthy? What would happen if we went to the church doctor? Or if the church doctor came and made a house call to us and began talking to us about the systems in our church and said, I'm sorry, but your church is going to die. It's on life support. 4 of the 8 systems aren't working properly. Well, what do I do? Well, you need to get the systems resuscitated. You need to get them, have surgery on them. You need to get them so that all the gifts in the church are working appropriately. If we don't understand this, I mean, a church is supposed to have leadership development that's taking place regularly. We're supposed to be discovering our spiritual gifts and implementing those things. Evangelism and outreach needs to happen regularly in a church. Small groups need to be taking place in a church. Develop biblically authentic and loving relationships needs to be happening in a church. Worship development needs to be taking place. Finances, management, and administration needs to be taking place. If these things are happening, the health of a church, it makes it so much more fun to come to church when all of these things are working smoothly. It brings joy to the church. It's fun to go to church where you have a baptism every Sabbath. Oh, I haven't been in one of those. Have you? Wouldn't it be nice to be in one where it was taking place every Sabbath? But I've been in healthy churches before, and they're exciting places to be. When we're all using our spiritual gifts, man, it works together like riding in a new automobile. How smooth it is when you get in that new automobile, how the engine purrs just right, how the tires are rotating properly, how you're up to 95 miles an hour before you look at the speedometer. Oh, my, how did I get that fast so easy? You're just cruising when everything's working good. I have a dream here for Mesa Palms. And that would be for everybody to understand that we're not on a cruise ship. Some of you have been on cruises. I'm not talking about against cruises. I've enjoyed a cruise. But here at Mesa Palms, this is not a cruise ship. Because on a cruise ship, there's a crew that behind the scenes is taking care of everything. And the passengers that are on board, they are just having fun. Friends, we're in a warfare. This is a battleship. And this is when the cry goes out, man your battle stations, you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing and when you're supposed to be doing it. If you're the chief cook and bottle washer, that means you're supposed to be cooking. If you're the ones that's the gunner out there on the deck, that means that you're supposed to be there behind the gun. What's your spiritual gift? Do you know it? And if you say no, come talk to me about it. Because one of my jobs as the pastor, my spiritual gift, pastoring, one of the roles that I'm supposed to play is to help the church members find their spiritual gifts and to plug them in. Oh, man, we got nominating committee coming up. We are going to be choosing officers. We're going to be looking for people to plug into places. Oh, this is going to be a fun next 3 months. Are you ready for it? What station do you want to be at? What do you want to be doing? And if you're on a luxury cruise, this may not be the place. Because Scripture tells us that this, I'm going to go back to that. Did you see what it said there? These spiritual gifts are for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? If we're not there yet, then we should be getting there. We have a ways to go. We need some training to take place. And when that takes place, that means we got to have people that are sitting in the seats being trained. Do you know your spiritual gifts? Do you know what you're supposed to be doing in the church? Do you know what battle station you're holding? I have a dream for every member is using their spiritual gifts that God has given to them. Now, lest you think you don't have much, it says everybody receives a gift. And that Matthew 25 parable about the talents where you go and hide it in the dirt, you know what happened to that guy, don't you? I don't want you to be that person. I really don't want you to be that person. I want every person to be using the spiritual gifts that they have. I have a dream. I have a dream where here at Mesa Palms, we are fulfilling the mission that God has given to his followers. What does that mean? The mission that God gave to his followers. Do we understand what that is? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus talking to his disciples, his followers, just as he's getting ready to leave the earth. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What are the followers of Jesus supposed to be doing? Witnessing. Witnessing about what? Jesus. Is Jesus your friend? Are you telling people about him? Are you winning people to be a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus? Are you teaching them to understand the things that Jesus wants them to understand? I mean, Jesus says this in Acts chapter 1 there to his disciples. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I mean, Acts chapter 2, well, we know what happens in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit falls on the disciples in a marvelous way after 10 days of prayer. Some of you are connecting the dots here just so that you are able to do that. After the 10 days of prayer, the disciples received the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit had already been working. For years and years and years, the Holy Spirit had already been working. But it was a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was given. Peter preaches a dynamic sermon in Acts chapter 2. Verse 41, it says, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Isn't that beautiful? 3,000. Are you looking forward to the day when we can have 3,000 people baptized there? I don't know. That tank's not big enough. It'd take us a long time for 3,000 to go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. We might have to go over to my apartment building and get all the elders together and all of us take turns baptizing at the swimming pool over at our apartment. Wouldn't that be more fun? Go to the river. Yeah, I like that idea. Go to the river, have the baptism. Friends, you and I are part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You may not know this, but as a church, in the year, I'm going to see if I can get this right, in the year 2024, numbers haven't come in for 2025, but in the year of 2024, we as a Seventh-day Adventist Church, we're baptizing over 4,000 people per day. Let me try that again. As a church, we were baptizing over 4,000 people per day. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. It's great to be part of a world church that is doing that kind of thing. We may be can't see the numbers right now. I think that we are the fastest growing denomination in the world. If we're not, we're very close there. And that's something special, especially in the day and age when many denominations are declining. It's exciting to be part of a church like that. And while that is wonderful, it's not good enough. Do you know how many people are being born every day? Yeah, I didn't figure you'd know. And I didn't look it up either. But I'm going to tell you it's more than 4,000. Do you know every day we baptize 4,000, we're getting further and further behind? Is that saddening to you? What's happening here in the valley? How many are we baptizing regularly? You may know the numbers better than I do. I don't know what's going on in all the other churches. Do we see the kind of growth that we would expect by people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, listening to the voice of God, using their spiritual gifts, seeking to fulfill the mission that God has given to us? Look at verse 46, 47 of chapter 2, there at Acts. Yeah, oh, I did put it there. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What did God do? God added to what? The church daily those who were being saved. Now, my question is God working here in Mesa? He is. Is he adding to the church daily those who are being saved? Which church where? Part of me is confused. Do you see part of the problem that we have? God is supposed to be adding to his church daily. If we're not seeing those kind of results, that is, what do they say, operator error. Something is happening that isn't supposed to be happening. Mesa Palms should be a collection point for those people Jesus is saving. We should be able to gather them here, letting people know that this is a place that they are welcome, that this is a place they can grow in Jesus, that this is a place where they can pray together. This is a place where they can build community. This is a place that God has provided for them so that they can know the three angels' messages. Now, some of you have been here at Mesa Palms a whole lot longer than I have. Do you know the Mesa Palms mission statement? They tell us the mission statements for an organization is important and that every member of the organization should have the mission statement memorized so that they know what they are to live by. Do you know the mission statement for the Mesa Palms Seventh-day Adventist Church? Anybody want to stand up and recite it for us? Yeah, it was handed to me in a book several months ago. That's the only reason I know it. So here it is. Here we go. What's that? It's on the back of the bulletin. Well, none of you started reading it? I'm glad you knew where it was. Let's try it together here. Following Christ by creating environment for a healthy, loving relationship with Him and His family. Beautiful mission statement. Somebody's taken time and put some work into developing a mission statement like this. We need to know it. Evidently, having it on the back of the bulletin's not enough for us to know it. We need to take this to heart. Say, this is the mission we've talked about. This is the mission our leadership has chosen. This is what we're striving to do. We want to make this happen. What would happen if we were following Christ, listening to His voice, hearing His word, this is the way, walk you in it, doing what He wanted us to do, creating an environment for a healthy, loving relationship with Him and His family. I'll use a different word for today's sermon title, and His bride. God wants to add individuals to His church. We should be His witnesses. Here. What's here? Mesa? The Valley? Greater Phoenix area? Is that what you want to say? Here is? Judea? What do you want to say? Arizona? Then the rest of the United States, and then the world. People need to know Jesus is coming soon. People need to know Jesus wants to save them. Jesus died to save them. People need to hear the good news that we have as Seventh-day Adventists. Those three angels' messages there in Revelation, those are the loud cry that needs to go to the world in the last days. Everybody needs to know. And it's not enough just for the pastor to preach it. It's not enough just for each of us to live it personally. We've got to live it in such a way that it takes over our life and it consumes us. And the zeal that we have for our God consumes us. And we can't stop talking about it. We want to tell somebody. Some of you gray-haired people. Do you remember when you first fell in love? Or you saw somebody you wanted to fall in love with? Or you saw somebody that... Who'd you tell about it? Oh, no, we got to keep that a secret, right? No, those are the kind of things you tell. Those are the kind of things you share. Those are the kind of things you call home and tell mom and dad about. That love experience was good news. That's the kind of love experience we need to be having with Jesus Christ. It's good news, and we can't help ourselves. It's just bubbling out of us. Following Christ by creating an environment for a healthy, loving relationship with Him and His family. Beautiful statement. Ephesians chapter 5, our scripture reading for the day. Ephesians chapter 5 said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Friends, that's what God desires for his church. God has a dream. He has a plan for his bride. He has a plan for his Mesa Palm bride. But they are preparing people for his soon return. He wants them to be a glorious church. That's what the text says, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, a holy church without blemish, a glorious bride. Friends, this is 2026. As was said during the song service, as was said earlier today, we want Jesus to come soon. I know a date was put on it this year, and that would be fantastic. That's not too soon. But it doesn't give you and I much time. We've got things that need to happen. Do you have friends and neighbors you want in heaven? I'm sorry, I forgot to do something at an earlier point, so I'm going to do it now. So you're going to wait a couple more minutes. Some of you met my parents that were here a couple weeks ago. Missionary Book of the Year was sitting out here in the lobby when I brought my dad to look at the facility here. He stole it. That's the kind of example I have as a pastor, son, growing up. And he read it. And he got on the phone and he made sure his church had 400 copies. And he's only got a small church there in Georgia. And he said, "Dale," he says, "you need to get your 400 copies. I said, "These things are $2 a piece." I said, I got our church to vote to order a whole case of them so we could get it down to the price of $2. And he said, "Why are you paying $2 for that book?" He said, "The Georgia Cumberland Conference is selling them to those churches out there for only $1 a piece." He kind of got under my skin a little bit and talked me into ordering 4 cases for our church. There are 3 cases that are sitting out here on the pews. The other 4th case that we had already ordered is not here yet. And some people had already said, "We want so many books, but we have some books for you so that you can share. You can take one for yourself or your family, and then you can take 4 more. That's 5. You decide who to give them to, okay?" I don't want you just to pick it up on your way out of here and leave it in the fellowship hall during potluck. I want these things to go home with you. And I don't want them just to sit on your night table, nightstand, or your coffee table in the living room. I want you to decide who's going to get these. Friends, there's good writing in here. People need to read it, understand it, hear about it. If you have to, start a book club to read this book. Discuss each chapter with people. Encourage them to give comments on it. Talk to you about it. You ask them, how'd you like the book? It's a gift for you from your church because it's important for us to be doing what God wants us to do, fulfilling the mission of His church. So I'm going to say this again. I have a dream that we know and listen to His voice. Whatever it takes for us in 2026, we need to know and listen to His voice so that He knows us. We don't want to hear those words, I do not know you. We want to hear the words, welcome home, children. That happens when we know and listen to His voice. When we are utilizing the gifts that He has given to us. He has given us gifts. Let's use them. All of us using them to fulfill the mission that He has called His church to fulfill. We can do this. Jesus is coming soon. We have a blessed hope that Jesus is coming soon.